June 14th, I am reflecting on Nenelina, and Jesus says to me, receive light on the power which is paradise. Consider that this little child, who had barely reached the use of reason, now, up above in the country of the children of God, possesses an intelligence and a knowledge, not at all inferior to those of the most learned, and long-lived of the mystical doctors. My and your John, who died at the age of 100 after having known the highest mysteries of God, Paul, the scholarly apostle, Thomas, the angelic doctor, and, along with them, all the giants of true knowledge, cannot add light to that little one, my saint. The Holy Spirit, whose precocious bride she was on earth, taught her in embraces of fire what he does not teach to the proud humanly learned, and in uniting her to himself in this blessed country, on whose threshold you find the triune God saying to you, enter and rejoice, O my beloved, he infused into this little one the perfection of knowledge, just as he infuses it into adults and the learned. For all your knowledge is always imperfect, and becomes perfect only when you possess God. God is truth. God is love. Here there is nothing imperfect. God communicates his properties to his saints. He makes you similar to him, who remains your king, out of justice, and thus the maximum perfection, but who is a king who opens to you all his treasures and covers, and penetrates you with them. When you saw paradise, you said it seemed to you that the spirits there were of a single age, and that only in the seriousness of their gaze and features their more or less adult age is revealed. This was shown to you because you are still on earth and would not have been able to comprehend and distinguish otherwise. But here there is no age. The spirit is eternally young, as at the moment when God created it to give it to you as the soul of your flesh. Until the moment when the resurrection of the flesh covers you again with glorified flesh, spirits are incorporeal and the same. When they appear to you, in the apparitions which I permit for your good, they appear to you in a corporeal form out of mercy on your human incapacity to perceive what is not matter. They materialize, then, to be perceptible for you. But here there is light singing praise to God, and that's all. Light. Love. Wisdom. Since Jesus had begun to make himself heard precisely when I was preparing to pray, I said to him, but, Jesus, in this way I can no longer pray. Afterwards I am tired and am not. And he, with a smile which, if I were not afraid of being disrespectful, I would describe as roguish, replied, that's just what I want. You belong to me entirely. In good and evil. Yes. Even in evil. Aren't you content, because I take you, even when you are imperfect, to make what you do perfect, by cancelling out your shortcomings? And then you ought to be content as well, in sacrificing to me what is good, what, when you carry it out, prompts you to say, now I am doing good. You're good. Oh my little gnat. Your devotions are, devotions. In them habit, scruples, the fear that, if you don't say them, I will not hear and bless you, and distractions come into play. I don't want them. I leave them to you for the hours in which I want to have you feel that you are, even less than a gnat. That you are the larva of a gnat, still without wings to fly to the top of a daisy in the field. But when I swoop down upon you, I carry you off in prayer. I am the eagle. The eagle flies at the summit of the sky, and rises higher and higher into the blue and concentric circles and looks at the sun. His eyes look at the sun without being dazzled by it. On the contrary, the more he looks at it, the stronger they feel. The eagle teaches his heavy young, who are afraid to leave the nest hanging perpendicular to the ravine, the exaltation of flight, by taking them one by one in his robust talons and carrying them higher and higher with him. Inebriated with light, they can no longer endure the cavern in the rock, and, with no more fear of the frightful sight below them, they open their wings and launch out, to meet the sun, in the heights. They have learned to be eagles. Before they were only chicks, like those of the goose. They have learned to fly, not to experience filth and mire anymore, to live on sunlight, and be alone. For little men, who do not know the wonders of my creatures, or know them so poorly, and I teach them to you, the eagle acts just like this to turn his chicks into little eagles. And when he sees they are eager for blue sky and sun, he leaves them, continuing to watch over them, as I do with you. And they open their wings, out of instinct or desire, the instinct to soar. They have the intuition that those two long things which mom and dad move, and which they have never opened, are of use to soar in that lovely azure. And they yield to the desire to act like the others, and to dive into that constantly rising blue which looks like a wall, and is nothing but pure and pure air. And the adult eagle, higher up, follows them. And if, weary or weak, one gives in after a short flight and plunges down, he grasps him, saves him, takes him back to the nest, and strengthens him more than the others, to prepare him for the new flight the next day. And this continues until he has shown them the peaks, where it is lovely to live alone, as kings, to make every peak an absolute kingdom, where the king and queen love each other, in whirlwinds of light and flights. And what's different about the way I act with you? Prayer is the flight of an eagle. Devotion is the fumbly quivering of the wings of a gnat, that with difficulty occupies the hollow of a flower, to enjoy his crumb of sunlight. And I take you when I want to. And I carry you with me. I shall now set you down. Are you tired? Rest. Just tell me you love me. That's enough for me. And remain ready for the new flight. Don't you understand that I am your Lord, so absolute that I want what I want? The holy hour of Jesus, if I do not wash you, you will not take part in my kingdom. Soul that I love, and all of you that I love, listen. It is I who speak to you, for I want to spend this hour with you. I, Jesus, do not separate you from my altar, even if you come to it with your souls damaged by wounds, and diseases are wrapped in lianas of passions which humiliate you in your spiritual freedom, handing you over, bound, to the power of the flesh and its king, Lucifer. I remain Jesus, the Rabbi of Galilee, the one to whom lepers, paralytics, the blind, the obsessed, and epileptics loudly called, saying, Son of David, have mercy on me. I remain Jesus, the rabbi reaching out to someone drowning and asking, Why do you doubt me? I remain Jesus, the rabbi who says to the dead, Rise up and go. I want you to come out of your sleep of death and your tomb, and walk. And I restore you to those who love you. And who loves you, O my beloved? Who loves you with true love which is not selfish or mutable? Who loves you with a love which is not self-interested or greedy, but whose only aim is to give you what it has amassed, and say to you, Take it. It's all yours. I have done all of this for you, so that it will be yours and you may enjoy it. Who? The eternal God. And I restore you to him. To him, who loves you. I do not separate you from my altar. For that altar is my teaching chair, my throne, and the dwelling of the physician who heals all maladies. From this place I teach you to have faith. From here, as the king of life, I give you life. From here I bend over your diseases, and heal them with the breath of my love. I do even more, O children. I descend from this altar, and go out to meet you. Here I am, on the threshold of these houses of mine, where too few enter, and even fewer enter with sure faith. Here I am, a figure of peace, who show up on your streets, where you pass by, downfallen, poisoned, and scorched by pain, self-interest, and hatred. Here I am, reaching out to you, for I see you hesitating wearily, under the weight of boulders you have imposed on yourselves which have taken the place of that cross which I handed to you, so that it would be your support, as the staff is for the pilgrim. Here I am, saying to you, enter, rest, drink, for I see you exhausted and thirsty. But you do not see me. You pass close by, you bump into me, sometimes out of ill will, sometimes through the darkening of your spiritual sight, at times you look at me. But you know you are dirty, and do not dare to come near my whiteness as a divine host. But this whiteness is able to take pity on you. Know me, men, who distrust me, because you do not know me. Listen. I wanted to leave the freedom and purity which are the atmosphere of heaven and descend into this jail of yours, into this impure air, to help you, because I love you. I did even more. I deprived myself of my freedom as God, and became the slave of flesh. The Spirit of God enclosed in flesh, the infinite locked into a handful of muscles and bones, subject to hearing the voices of this flesh, for which cold and sun, hunger, thirst, and labor are affliction. I could ignore all of this. I wanted to experience the tortures of man, who had fallen from his throne as an innocent one, to love you more. That still wasn't enough for me. I wanted, since to feel compassion one must suffer what those for whom compassion is felt suffer, to feel the assault of all the feelings, to feel your struggles, to grasp the crafty tyranny Satan puts into your blood, to understand how easy it is to remain hypnotized by the serpent, if one lowers one's gaze for a single moment towards his seductive glance, forgetting to live in the light. Because the snake does not live in the light. He goes into the shadowy recesses which look restful, but are only treacherous. For you these shadows have a name. Woman, money, power, selfishness, sensuality, and ambition. For you they eclipse the light that is God. In their midst is the serpent, Satan. He looks like a necklace. He is the rope to strangle you. I wanted to know this, because I love you. That still wasn't enough for me. It would have been enough for me. But the justice of the Father could say to his flesh, you have triumphed over treachery. Man is flesh, like you, is unable to triumph now, and let him thus be punished, for I cannot forgive those who are filthy. I took your filthiness upon myself. That of the past, present, and future. All of it. More than Job, immersed in a putrid dunghill to cover his wounds, was I immersed, when, submerged by the sin of the whole world, I did not dare, even to raise my eyes any more to seek heaven, and I moaned, feeling the Father's indignation, building up for centuries, weighing upon me, aware of the sins to come. A flood of sins on earth, from its dawn to its dusk. A flood of curses upon the guilty one. On the host of sin. O men! More innocent than a baby kissed by his mother on his way back from his baptism was I. And the Most High was horrified at me, because I was sin, having taken upon me all the sin of the world. I sweated with repugnance. I sweated blood out of repugnance at this leprosy upon me, who was the innocent one. The blood broke my veins in the disgust of this foul pool in which I was submerged. And to complete this torture, to squeeze my blood out of my heart, there was joined the bitterness of being accursed, for in that hour I was not the Word of God. I was man. Man. The guilty one. Can I, who have experienced this, fail to understand your dejection, or fail to love you, because you are dejected? I love you for this reason. I have only to recall that hour to love you, and call you brothers and sisters. But calling you this is not enough for the Father, to be able to call you sons and daughters. And I want him to call you this. What kind of brother would I be if I did not want you with me in our Father's house? I thus say to you, come so that I can wash you. No one is so filthy, that my lavisser will not cleanse him. No one is so pure, that he doesn't need my bath. Come. This is not water. There are miraculous founts which heal the wounds and diseases of the flesh. But this is more than those. This fount gushes from my chest. This is the lacerated heart from which the cleansing water issues forth. My blood is the clearest water in creation. Infirmities and imperfections are cancelled out in it. And your souls become white and whole again, worthy of the kingdom. Come. Let me say to you, I absolve you. Open your hearts to me. In them are the roots of your maladies. Let me come in. Let me act. My hand is light. You will feel only a caress. And everything will be healed. You will feel only a kiss and a tear. And everything will be cleansed. Oh, how beautiful you will be, around my altar. Angels among the angels of the ciborium. And my heart will rejoice greatly thereat. For I am the Savior, and I do not disdain anyone, but I am also the Lamb grazing among the lilies, and I take delight in being surrounded by whiteness, for to make you white I took up life and gave life. Oh, how I see the Father smiling at you, and love shining for you with his splendors, because you are no longer stained with sin. Come to the fount of the Savior. Let my blood descend upon the contrite spirit, and let a voice, in which mine is present, say, of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. One of you will betray me. One of you. Yes, in the proportion of 1 to 12 one of you betrays me. Every betrayal is more painful than a lance thrust. Look at the humanity of your Redeemer. From his head to his feet he is one big wound. Scourging brings horror to those meditating on it, and agony to those experiencing it. But it was an hour's torture. You that betray me scourge my heart. You have been doing so for centuries. I have loved you. I love you. I take pity on you. I forgive you. I wash you, taking away my blood, to make it a purifying bath for you. And you betray me. I am the Word of God. I am glorious in heaven. But I am in this heaven, not only as a spirit. I am there as flesh as well. The flesh has feelings and affections. Why do you want to renew for me continually that gnawing fire which the proximity of a betrayer is? Is heaven far away? No, children who betray me. I am close to you. I am among you. And you burn me with the flame of your betrayal. I look, seeking comfort, among the different kinds of people. And in each I encounter, so many glances of betrayers. Why do you betray me? I am in your midst, to do good to you. Why do you want to harm me? I bring you my gifts. Why do you throw biting vipers back at me? I call you friends. Why do you reply, accursed one? What have I done to you? What man do you know who is more patient, and has greater goodness than I? Look. When you are happy, no one abandons you. But if you weep, if wealth abandons you, if you have an infectious disease, everyone then stays away from you. I remain. Indeed, I receive precisely at that moment, because you then come. You no longer have anyone to weep and speak with, and then you remember me. And I do not say to you, go away. I don't know you. I could say so, for in fact you never came, when you were wealthy, healthy, and happy, to say to me, I am this way, and I thank you for it. But I don't demand even this from those who are not already giants in love. I do not demand gratitude. It would suffice for you to say, I am happy. To say this to me. Not to regard me as alien to you. To remember that I exist too. To devote a thought to this Jesus. I would say thanks for you to God, my Father and yours. But you never come. And I could say, I don't know you. But I then open my arms and say, come. Let us weep together. Look. I am in the jails, in the small, depressing cells, sitting on the same plank bed as the prisoner, and I speak to him of a freedom truer than the one beyond those four walls, of a freedom which is no longer afraid of being harmed by sins which should be punished. And yet that prisoner is someone who has betrayed me, offending my law of love. Perhaps he has killed. Perhaps he has robbed. But he now calls me. There I am, at his side. The world scorns him. I love him. I called the one who was killing me, and depriving me of life my friend. I can call this unfortunate who comes back to me my friend. A flame of love, I am close to the sick. Their fevers experience my caress, their sweat, my sudarium, their languors, my arm, which supports them, and their anguish, my word. And yet many are sick, because they betrayed me in my law. They have served the flesh. And the flesh, a mad beast, was destroyed and destroys them now, even in life. Here I am as well, for I am the only one who do not grow tired of their malady and watch with them, and suffer with them, and smile at their hopes, and, if the Father has the slightest inclination, I turn them into reality. But if I see that death is decreed, I then take this brother of mine, who is trembling before the mystery of death and calling to me, and I say, do not fear. You think it is darkness, it is light. You think it is pain, it is joy. Give me your hand. I know death. I experienced it before you. I know that it is an instant, and that God supernaturally comes to your aid, to deaden the force of the sensorial so as not to demoralize the soul in its final struggle. Be trusting. Look at me. Me alone, there. Do you see? You have crossed the threshold. Come with me now, to the Father. Do not fear now either. I am with you. The Father loves those I love. I am in deserted houses. Before they were glad with voices. Death and indigence have passed by. The survivor wanders about alone. Friends have fled. Loved ones are far away, because of work or death. The sun is in the sky, but for the survivor all is darkness. There is peace in the night air, but for the survivor there is sure no rest. And yet I have often been betrayed in that house, where creatures have been turned into gods. Creatures have been loved idolatrously, in betrayal of my law. But I enter and come to introduce a sunbeam into the darkness, to infuse peace where a storm is. That survivor has called me, perhaps absent-mindedly, perhaps without a real will to receive me. But I go without delay. Oh, I ask for nothing but to be with you. Every memory falls of past error when you call me. Jesus. But do not scourge my heart. It is already open and bloodless. Do not envenom its wound. And to those who have understood me in my pain as a betrayed man I say, one of you will betray me. Give me your faithful love as a bomb. And I say this to all. To the saints, my beloved ones as God. To sinners, my beloved ones as Jesus. For sinners too, for whom I became Jesus, can medicate this wound. Are you Samaritans? I know. But my parable speaks of a good Samaritan who treats the wounds not treated by the children of the law who pass by, absorbed in the hurry of sowing God. They do not know that God is served more by loving than by performing practices. I am the wounded one languishing on your roads. Marauders assaulted and plundered me. Marauders. Those who unworthily make use of my sacrifice as God becoming flesh. They plunder me. By denying my attributes with their multiple heresies. They plunder the truth, because that robe tempts them, for it is radiant. But they do not know that it shines, because it has been put on by the one who is a son, and in the hands of these, who cover it with the slaver of their proud minds, it becomes just another rag. Truth is truth, and it illuminates all things with this light, when it is seen in union with God. When divided, it becomes chaotic language. For the truth is knowledge and wisdom, but, when torn away from God, it becomes chaos. Medicate me, even if you are Samaritans. Give me your oil and wine, the oil is love, and the wine, contrition of your own self. Medicate me. I do not disdain you. Let the sinful woman who refreshed my weary feet speak to you, and say whether I disdain a sinner. But never betray me again. Go and sin no more. I forgive you for everything, if everything in you loves me. Give me a sincere kiss. My cheek is burning from the kiss of the betrayers. Medicate it with the kiss of faithfulness. Love one another as I have loved you. From the cradle to the cross, from Bethlehem to the Mount of Olives I loved you. The cold and indigence of my first night in the world did not keep me from loving you with my spirit, and, annihilating myself as the word to the point of not being able to say, I love you, I said those words to you with my spirit, inseparable from that of the Father and working with it in inexhaustible activity. The agony of my last night on earth did not keep me from loving you. On the contrary, it reached the highest peaks of love. On the contrary, it burned in the most intense fire. On the contrary, it consumed all that was not love to the point of squeezing along with repugnance at sin, and the pain of abandonment by the Father the blood out of my veins. What greater love is there than the one able to love when it knows it is hated? The first gesture of my hands was a caress, the last, a blessing. And in the midst of these two gestures, the first arising in the darkness of a winter night, the last in the splendor of a glowing summer morning, 33 years of gestures of love, corresponding to as many motions of love. Love in miracles, love in caresses for children and friends, love as a teacher, love as a benefactor, love as a friend, love, love, love. And more than human love at the Last Supper. Before being bound and pierced, these hands of mine washed the feet of the apostles, and also of the one whose heart I would have liked to wash, and they broke the bread. And I was breaking my heart with that bread. I was giving you that. Because I knew I would soon return to heaven, and did not want to leave you alone. Because I knew how easily you forget and wanted you to see yourself sitting at a single dinner table, around my table, to say to one another, we belong to Jesus. What love is greater than the one able to love those who torture it? And yet I loved you that way. And I was able to pray for you as I died. Love one another as I have loved you. Hatred extinguishes the light. Even mere resentment darkens peace. God is peace and light, for God is love. But if you do not love, and love as I have loved you, you cannot have God. As I have loved you. Without acts of pride, then. From this tabernacle, this cross, and this heart there emerge only words of humility. I am God, and I am your servant, and I remain here, waiting for you to say to me, I am hungry, to give myself as bread to you. I am God, and I expose myself to your sight on wood which was a debasing scaffold, naked and accursed. I am God, and I ask you to love my heart. I ask you, out of love for you, since, if you love me, you do yourselves good. I am God. With or without your love, I am always God. But you are not. Without my love, you are nothing. Dust. I want you with me. I want you here. I want to make your dust less light. I want you not to die, but to live, for I am life, and want you to have life. Love one another without selfishness. It would be an impure love, destined to die of illness. Love one another by wanting for others more good than you hope for as regards yourselves. It is very difficult. I know. But, do you see this Eucharistic bread? It has made the martyrs. They were creatures like you. Fearful, weak, even dissolute. This bread made them heroes. In the first point I indicated my blood to you for your purification. In the third point, to make you saints, I indicate this table and this bread to you. The blood changed you from sinners into just people. The bread changes you from just people into saints. A bath cleanses, but does not nourish. It refreshes and restores, but does not become flesh in the flesh. Food, on the other hand, becomes blood and flesh, it becomes you yourselves. My food becomes yourselves. Oh, consider. Look at a little child. Today he eats his bread, and he does so tomorrow, and the next day and the next. He thus becomes a man. Tall, sturdy, handsome. Is it his mother that has made him that way? No. His mother conceived, bore, gave birth to, nursed, and loved him. But the little one, if, after the mild, he had received nothing but baths, kisses, and love, would have perished of starvation. That child becomes a man through the adult food he consumes. That man is such, because he eats his food every day. The same applies to your spiritual self. Nourish it with the real food which comes down from heaven, and from heaven, brings you all the energies, to make you stalwart in grace. Healthy strong vitality is always good. See how easy it is for a sickly person, to be harsh and lacking in compassion and patience. My food will make you healthy and strong in the vitality of the spirit, and you will be able to love others more than yourselves, as I have loved you. 4. Look, children. I have loved you not as someone loves himself, but more than myself, to the point that I went to my death, to save you from death. If you love this way, you will know God. Do you know what it means to know God? It means to know the taste of true joy, true peace, and true friendship. Oh, the friendship, peace, and joy of God. It is the reward promised to the blessed, but it is already given to those on earth who love with their whole selves. Love, to be true, is not a matter of words. It is a matter of deeds. Active, like its source, who is God. Nor does it ever tire of working, even because of the disappointments coming from one's brothers and sisters. That love is poor which falls like a bird with weak wings, when an obstacle wounds it. True love, even when wounded, rises. With its claw and beak, it clambers up, if it can no longer fly, so as not to lie in the shadow and the cold, to be in the sun, the medicine for every malady. And as soon as it is refreshed, it then resumes its flight. And it goes from God to its brothers and sisters, and from these to God, an angelic butterfly bearing the pollen of the heavenly gardens, to fecundate the earthly flowers and carrying the scents snatched from the humblest flowers to God, so that he will receive and protect them. But woe to it, if it drifts away from the Son. The Son is my Eucharist, for in it the Father blesses, and the Spirit loves, while I, the Word, work. Come and take. This is the food that I ardently ask you to consume. If you remain in me, and my doctrine remains in you, you will be given what you ask for. I descend into you, and become your food. But, as the center I am, I breathe you into myself. You feed on me, but with greater reason I feed on you. The two hungers are insatiable and continuous. The vine nourishes its shoots. But it is the shoots that make the vine. The water nourishes the seas, but it is the seas that nourish the water, rising again in evaporation, to come down once more. You must thus remain in me as I remain in you. If separated, you, not I, would die. I am food for the spirit and food for thought. The spirit feeds on the flesh of a god. The essence poured out by God, it can receive food only from what is its matrix. Thought feeds on my word, which is the thought of a god. Your thought. Intelligence is what makes you resemble God, for in intelligence there is memory, intellect, and will, as there is a likeness in the spirit, because it is spiritual, free, and immortal. Your thought, to be capable of remembering, understanding, and willing what is good, must be nourished by my doctrine. It reminds you of the benefits and works of God, who God is, and what is due God. It brings you to comprehend good, and distinguish it from evil. It brings you to want to do good. Without my doctrine you become the slaves of others which are called doctrines, but are errors. And, like ships without a compass and rudder, you head for shipwreck. You depart from the roots. And how can you then say, God has abandoned me, when it is you that have abandoned him? Remain in me. If you do not remain, it is a sign that you hate me. And my Father hates whoever hates me, for whoever hates me hates the Father, since I am one with the Father. Remain in me. Make the Father unable to distinguish between the branch and the vine, since the branch is so united to it. Make the Father unable to grasp where I end and you begin, since the likeness is so complete. Those who love end up taking on the inflections, phrases, and gestures of their beloved. I want you to be as many other Jesuses. And this is because I want you to receive what you ask for. When fused to me, you can ask only for good things, and not have to experience rejection. And this is because I want you to receive even more than what you ask for, since the Father pours out his treasures upon the Son in a continuous flow of love. And whoever is in the Son enjoys this infinite outpouring, which is the love of God, who rejoices in his word and circulates in him. Now I am the body, and you, the members, and thus the joy flooding me, and coming from the Father, the power, peace, and every other perfection circulating in me are transfused into you, my faithful ones who are part of me, inseparable from you here and hereafter. Come and ask. Do not be afraid to ask. You can ask for everything, because God can give everything. Ask for yourselves and for all. I have taught you to. Ask for those present and those absent. Ask for those of the past, present, and future. Ask for this day of yours, and for your eternity, and for both of these in relation to those whom you love. Ask and ask and ask. For everyone. For the good, that God may bless them. For the wicked, that God may convert them. Say with me, Father, forgive them. Ask for health, peace in the family, peace in the world, and peace for eternity. Ask for holiness. Yes, this too. God is the Holy One and the Father. Along with the life maintaining you, ask Him for holiness through the strength which comes from Him. Do not be afraid to ask. For the daily bread and the daily blessing. You are not entirely a body, and not yet entirely a spirit. Ask for both of them, and it will be granted to you. Do not be afraid to dare too much. I requested my own glory for you. Indeed, I have even given it to you, so that you will be like us, who love you, and the world will know that you are children of God. Come. Your Father is in this heart of mine. Enter, that he may recognize you and say, Let there be great celebration in the heavens, for I have re-encountered a Son whom I loved. I have contented you, Jesus says. I have continuously spoken myself. I wanted my Eucharistic voice to speak. Receive it as my gift. I bless you and all of those who listen to it.